Hello! Welcome along to the Let's Get Running podcast. Nice to have you along. Welcome to all the new listeners, if there is any. Welcome to the old listeners. I'm sorry I've been away for so long. But I'm back. Listen, this is Let's Get Running podcast Mark 2. And if you are a regular to the show, you'll notice the audio is a little bit different. And that's because I'm running. And the reason for that is I enjoyed the last podcast. I enjoyed making it, speaking to runners about what made them better at running. So experts and runners, coaches, in an effort, I guess, partly to make myself run better and to share with you guys. But this is a little bit different, and I'm inspired by a few things, really. Corona's one of them, but a 2012 documentary by a friend of mine, Ivo Gormley. You might recognise his name. He founded Good Gym and interviewed him on a previous show. And he made a documentary with a guy called Matan Rocklitz. And essentially what they did is they took a bike, they put a trailer on the back, and they cycled around Victoria Park through the seasons and interviewed people as they ran. And the idea behind that was when people are running, they're more likely to let their guard down, to be open and honest. And I think that really chimes with me. I mean, a lot of the strongest relationships I have, a lot of the best conversations I've had are with people I've run with. And for whatever reason, Corona came around. It's been a long time, 18 months, whatever it's been. That stopped for me, largely. It's also due to the fact that I have two kids and it's hard to organise. But I miss those, and I guess there'll be a lot of other people in the same boat as me who maybe used to enjoy a good long Sunday run with their mates and now can't maybe do that. So I wanted to try and bring those conversations to you virtually. Is that right, virtually? I don't know. Anyway, remotely. So we can have a chat, or I can talk at you here. And I'm going to be interviewing different people, so I'm going to be chatting to various different people, runners, about their lives, but people maybe who aren't necessarily top runners but have been affected by running and exercise. And I'm going to talk to them about how that has changed their lives, how important exercise has been to them and their growth. So let's see. Where am I now? You might be able to hear a train in the background. I'm running through an industrial estate in Amsterdam. I live over in the Netherlands. I have done for nearly 5 years. I speak about 6 words of Dutch, which I must admit I'm embarrassed about. But I'm running through an industrial estate because though Amsterdam is a beautiful city, people know it as a beautiful city, there's not a lot of green spaces to run around. But I found a lovely big verge where I can run a 12k and it largely stays in the grass. So it's boring, but it's grass. Although, hang on, the other day, I did find a burner phone. I've just finished watching Line of Duty, so this was in my mind. I found a burner phone snapped in half, chucked in the long grass. So I picked it up. I gave it a brush down with all my prints. And I'm hoping to get a little call from the Dutch police to ask about my whereabouts. That will spice up my life a little bit and make it a bit more interesting. So what I've been up to, well, I'm speaking a week after England lost the Euro 2012 final. That was interesting. Being an expat over here, I went a bit too excited for it. I really went for it. I had a big party on the day of the final. I was confident. I put balloons up. I really went to town. Got a bit pissed. Obviously, sad to say they went out. It was fun. But they did go out of the... They lost the match. Woke up the next morning with a stinking hangover. My wife comes in to the kitchen. I'm trying to wake my eyes up. The kids are up already, obviously. And the baby pulls a Pyrex dish onto my wife's foot. Immediately shatters. Slicing through a vein in her foot. So we're half asleep. There's blood squirting up the walls. a baby's howling, my wife goes white. It was a wonderful way to celebrate a heartbreaking England defeat. So that's topical. Yeah, that's what's been happening recently. What am I? Who am I? For those who've just come along to the show, my name is Sean Dixon. I am a father of two children, both ginger-haired, which is a real tough one for me. I've got like light brown hair. My wife's completely dark brown. I don't know where this gene's come from. However, two gingers, they're really sweet. They're lovely girls. One of them has just learned to sleep through the night. Whoa, that's a dream. That's really nice. And I look after those two girls for most of the week. 3 days, 2 days there at daycare. And the other 2 days I run my business, also called Let's Get Running. And the basic premise of Let's Get Running is, I think running is the most inclusive, simple way to get lots of people exercising together outside during the working day or straight after the working day. And the effect of exercise, regular exercise, on productivity, creativity, on lowering stress and improving mood, and also improving social cohesion, is amazing. And I think more companies should do it. So that's what it is, my cell. I've got a lovely wife, Molly. She's a, I'm explaining, she's got a big slice through her foot at the moment. But I've also, in the time I've spoken to people, I've become a leg model. Interesting development. I've got very sexy legs. Actually, I haven't. What happened was, another train. I work with Kahu. This is a Finnish brand. Well, they were Finnish originally. And incredible brand, actually. I should talk to you about them. They've invented so much stuff. So they, obviously, the Finns were the preeminent running nation on Earth at one stage, back sort of 50 or so, maybe even more than that, years ago. And they used to wear these Kahu shoes. And they invented the air bubble. So they put air in the bottom of shoes. A lot of them used to hang out with Steve Prefontaine. He took a little liking to that little air bubble when he tried a few pairs on, and the rest is history. They also invented three stripes. So they invented the three stripes that now Adidas use, and they sold it to Adidas for like a big bottle of whiskey and something else. So these guys have got a great history. And essentially Manu had a model cancel last minute and needed someone who wore a 43 European size shoe. And unluckily, because he gives me a few pairs, he knew my size. And he had a little lean. So I ended up shaving my legs the night before. God, that's hard. I'm sorry, ladies, for the social pressure I contribute to. I have to make you go through that all the time. It's probably not as hard when you're used to it, but that's boring. It took me 2 hours in a cold bath. Well, cold by the time I finish with it. So yeah, my legs were done. I went and had a photo shoot. So if you go in a web shop for Kahu, Fleet Feet, I think in America is one. They'll be on, or maybe even Kahu themselves. And you see there's going to be a black dude and a white dude. Those white legs, those sexy white legs, are yours truly. So that was fun. That's kind of what I've been up to. And I thought maybe a good format for this show would be to sort of have a little chat about me and what running's done for me. So I'll take you back to my childhood. Before I start anything, I'll moan a bit in this, but I appreciate my life's been bloody easy. And I've been so fortunate to go through everything I've gone through. I haven't gone through anything. I'm fortunate to be in the position I'm in. But I was born in Dorset, in a town called Bridport. And if you've watched the series Broadchurch, that's where it is. I've got an older brother and a younger sister, which could have an impact, I don't know. And I'm just going to say it was boring, but not boring in the way that I didn't have fun. We had the beach, we had places to play, oh, it was great. It was fantastic, but it was boringly normal. I've got a good relationship with my brother and sister. We're fine. I get on well with my mum and dad. There's never really any drama. We don't speak that often, but we don't really need to. I think we're fine. But from a very young age, I should move on quick. I had this desire in me to be really good at something. And I think the motivation was that, is I wanted people to respect me. I wanted people to notice me and respect me. And I've been looking at a book called The Birth Order. My wife put me onto this. And basically it says, have a look at it if you're interested. And obviously we're going through the same thing now, having two children. Like, you tend to, your experience as a firstborn is very different to a secondborn. You know, a firstborn, all the attention's there on you. Secondborn, you've got to survive, mother. And you tend to gravitate and have relationships with people who are the same position in the birth order as you, which is quite interesting. So me and my wife are both secondborn. Have a think about your relationships. A lot of my friends are secondborn or thirdborn. And maybe my parents, my mum, respect the job that she did for me. She's amazing. But maybe there was something in me, I wanted to prove something to somebody all the time. And I had this other weird sort of thing where inner self-confidence, where I'm all right on my own. And maybe it's a coping mechanism. I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. I'm fine. You don't have to worry about me. So I keep things bottled up quite a lot, because I want people just to think, you know, let Sean get on with it, he's fine. And as a kid, I didn't really like playing football in big groups. I like to go and kick a ball against the wall, pretend to be Gazza for an hour. That was a dream. Loved that sort of thing. So I guess I was a bit, I wanted respect. I wanted people to know it's me. But I wanted, I wanted my autonomy. I didn't want people to worry about me. I was fine. Let me get on with it. And I guess that chimed well with running. And I was never really quick. I had no obvious talent. I think in primary schools I was the last kid in the slow race, the fast race rather. I'd win the slow race, but the fast race, the flat race, whatever they call it, I'd always feign an injury or an illness on the line to avoid having to do it, because the embarrassment of finishing last was too much for me. But at secondary school, I just guess I got an opportunity. My friend went along to the running club because he'd been spotted by the coach. I went along, and within a year I was the strongest runner, or the second strongest runner at the club, in my age group obviously. And I think that shows I did have a talent for adapting to training and picking it up. And we had a great year nationally. You know, we had Mo Farah, we had Scott Overall, we had, I'm sorry about listing names, people who don't understand, don't listen, don't know much about the world of running, but Frank Tickner, 5 times national cross country champion, Ricky Sues, I think he came about 4th or 6th in the world championships. You know, it's a really strong age group, and it was fun. I love running, and what running gave to me and still benefits me today is the determination and the dedication. I'm a really well-organised person, because you're used to well-organising your time to fit your running in, organising your life around your running. And I guess it stopped me from falling down the excesses of rural living, let's say. I did like a bit of a binge drink. That was fun as a 16-year-old. But as running became a bit more important, I still do it every now and again. I think before the Intercounties Fell Running Championships, I woke up on the floor on a service station toilet. God, that was bad. And then my wife's, we had a party, a wedding a few years back, and I woke up fully clothed in a port-a-loo wearing my auntie's hat. So I'm still prone, but I try not to get involved with that too much. And I was never great at it. I never knew I was going to be, never thought I was going to be an Olympian, but I love the competitiveness of it. It's all about me. That chimed well with those two things I was saying earlier, like the desire for respect. I wanted people to know me. I wanted people to say, oh, he's a good runner. And also, I liked being in control of my own destiny. I didn't want people to worry about me. I'd get out and do it myself. I'd push myself hard. I'm determined to do this. So it went well. I gave up in my 20s because life gets in the way and that. And I came back as a senior. And again, I was determined to do it. It chimes well with my personality. But the problem is, and I come kind of back to the negative thing, I want to be good for external reassurance. And that's a problem, right? Right. Because when I did get good, I was thinking about what everybody else, what everyone thought of me. I was thinking when I got an England vest, I was thinking people are going to be thinking I don't deserve this. When I got in the national, I was thinking I've got to do this next year, I've got to go one better. Because everybody, and nobody cares about what you're doing, they don't care about what they're doing. I was ridiculous, really. And it basically derailed the best years of my running career, this desire to think, you know, people think I was good. People think I was a good egg. And it's kind of depressing now. And the problem is, I'm always looking, like a lot of people, for the external, I don't know, external verification of stuff. So it happens with my business now. And what it means is you can never be happy, truly happy in the moment, in what you're doing. And I'll be sitting having a nice ice cream and I'll be thinking, oh, I haven't set up my MailChimp emails, or I don't know, you know, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. And it's just boring. I'm bored of that. But if anyone, I suppose now these days when I'm running is stopping a little bit, I'm in my late 30s, maybe that'll ease, but I don't think it will. I think I need to address that and work out how to kind of compartmentalise your life. I think everyone does. So, sorry, a bit of a burp there. I'm still clicking up. I'm doing 430Ks, by the way, if you're interested. I'm doing all right. I'm getting fit, actually. Relatively. And like I said, I'm in my 30s now. Days of running fast, probably gone. But I really want to keep this going, because now I've had the girls, and knowing what running's been for me, I want the girls to see it, and I want them to be inspired to run themselves and to race and to love that side of the sport. So I want to see them, I want them to recognise me race, see me race and see me enjoy it. Because you think about schools, we're heading back to England soon, back to Bridport potentially, and I was thinking about schools, like Roman Catholic schools, and I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. But a lot of the lessons religion teaches you are very good ones, right? Love thy neighbour, that sort of thing. It's interpreted a bit funny, some people can get a bit kooky with it, but good lessons. But I think running, even better life lessons. It's all on, no, it's all on you, don't worry about anyone else. Probably isn't a good lesson, but there's lots of stuff in there. Dedication, determination, keep getting back up, keep trying. It's all about the long term. Be consistent. All these things are great lessons for children. Or for a young teenager. So I hope to do that. And I've got to stop those girls binge drinking. They've already shown signs. I've got to nip that in the bud. So yeah, I hope it hasn't been too boring, this. That's kind of me. I guess I'm quite strange in that I'm determined to succeed, but I want to do it on my own. I don't want to have to shout about it. But as I get older, I've missed the opportunities I could have created for myself, which is depressing. My body was ready, but my mind wasn't. bringing back religion, I guess, I shouldn't have coveted my neighbour's ass. I should. I was going to explain that, but I think I'll leave it like that. Okay, I had a good time chatting to you, and join me again. Next week's got an interview. Oh, yeah, Jerry Carey, in a book called Running Stories. I'll shout it out next week. But yeah, I did cry. I feel even kind of bad talking about my life now, having had that conversation. But anyway, I'll see you next week. Bye.